You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. We are live right now in the Right Side studios, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm sitting here cracking up, Boomer, before we go to the segment we're about to do on Boomer the Burn Man. I'm reading text messages from some of the folks. If you want to, by the way, text the show, 833-68-RIGHT is the number. You can text and we'll respond back as we can or call you out on the air. Jeff from Indiana texted and said, based on the earlier segment about last night's interview, that he thinks the folks in China may want their money back from the Biden family, not getting their money's worth now. So there's that one. We got Brian from Huntsville texted in and said, so Biden's attending the Queen's funeral. Hope no one accidentally buries him with her as they mistake her for him for Prince Philip. That's awful. Wow. All right. But my favorite so far is Paul from Athens telling me I need to speak up because he's cutting grass and trying to hear the show at the same time. Come on, Paul. Give me a break, man.
Hey, at least he's still listening.
He's listening. That's true.
I like that.
All right. This is that time of the week. That time of the week when we bring in the two guys who make all the tech stuff run. I mean, they do, and they do a great job. And so, we're gonna do our Boomer and the Birdman segment. So, Boomer, you're obviously here.
I'm here.
Yeah, I call roll, but I can see you. You're right there. But then also on the line with us is the guy who works in the outhouse, and that's the Birdman. Birdman, you with us?
What's up, everybody?
He is there, loud and clear. All right, well, I pronounce a quorum. That means we got a sound effect. Play it.
Boom. Woo-hoo!
All right. You know the deal, fellas. I got some questions for you. Sometimes you have questions for me. I just see what your thoughts are on things. You guys come at it from a perspective. Sometimes it's purely of your own. Sometimes it's maybe related to the fact that y'all are of a different age generation than me. I think Birdman's in his 20s, and Boomer, you're in your 30s. And so let's just see what happens. So here's question numero uno. You ready? Yesterday, the president surprised everyone by saying the pandemic is over. Like, the pandemic's over. Hello? So, but that means he still planted the payoff student loans based on the pandemic emergency. Your thoughts on this? I'm going to start with Birdman first. What you got?
I mean, you know, to be fair, the president did go on air and pretty much word vomit for the entirety of that whole section.
You can't say that about the president.
Well, yeah. You know, at this point, I get what he's going after, but the majority of us have been living as if the pandemic is over because it has been over for quite some time.
Yeah.
And then, in my opinion, with all the stuff with the student loan issue, I can't say anything that we haven't said on here before. To me, it's just a case of he's just trying to pacify people who voted for him for that reason, and I think he's just trying to play both sides and speak out of both sides of his mouth. I think, like I said, honestly, when it comes to stuff like this, I take everything he's saying with a grain of salt.
Mm. So do you think, though, Birdman, do you think he realized he was unhinging his payoff plan by announcing that last night?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you want to talk about unhinging. I think he unhinged a lot of stuff last night. And I think there's a reason that the White House is scrambling with their press releases right now, because this is what happens when you play out of both sides of your mouth, but you don't actually mean both sides. And I think that's what's happening.
Wow.
Man.
Birdman, like, had him a Red Bull or something before he came on the air.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have a Red Bull on me right now. We're already 2 hours in.
but you did have a right side ration.
I did have a right side.
In studio, the right side rations are chocolate and caffeine, and we keep a steady flow of both going.
That's right.
All right, so last night, the announcement, pandemic is over. And yet student loans, he still wants to pay them off. Your thoughts?
Okay, my thoughts are, it's right where Birdman is. I believe that the only other thing that I would say on that behalf is when he was talking, I'm not sure that he realized it right when he said it.
Okay.
I think then he realized
it. You think it's one of the things where he's like, oh, crap, later?
Well, yeah, because I think his staff is now, like you said, scrambling to backtrack on everything. But with all of it, yes, the pandemic is over. Woo! I mean, I'm happy he said that because I'm like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I don't downgrade any of the fact that people were sick. I don't, not at any point, because I understand family members and friends that were very sick from it. But you know what? If you're going to say that, why are there still, or you know, that means everything should go.
Yeah.
I mean, like the, like,
cut all the mask mandates, cut out all the restrictions on society, the military vaccine.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Get rid of all of them. If it's gone, it's gone. Now with the student loan thing, I'm on the other side of the student loan thing. I don't agree with it. I know it's going to help a lot of people out, but I just don't agree with it, especially now since the pandemic's over.
All right, fair enough. I think you guys are tracking on that one. So let me jump on question number two. So, totally switching gears on you. We are like what? Right at a month from the a month and a half from the midterms. Mm-hmm. November 12th, I think it is. Thereabouts, 10th. And today is September the 19th. So there you go. All right. So is anyone in your sphere of influence, and I'm talking about, it doesn't matter age groups. I mean, it could be family members or whatever, or for that matter, your generation. Is anybody in your sphere of influence even talking about the midterm elections? If so, what are they saying? But if not, then why not? So, I mean, this is a very consequential midterm if you're a political hack like me. Mm-hmm. You first, Boomer, what do you think?
Well, sphere of influence, I'm with you every day, so yes.
Not counting me.
Okay. All right. Other sphere of influence is, I mean, honestly, I don't hear it much from other areas. Some friends, I hear a little bit, that are very in tune with politics and what's going on, and they're ready to get out there and vote. Some other friends and family members, I don't hear it as much. I'm the one that's starting to bring it up. And I actually never thought I would be the one bringing that up. But other than those, and then news broadcast on radio and television, I actually don't even see it much on social media, but then again, I'm not that big of a social media person.
Let me ask you this. If you were not in studio with me every day, mm-hmm. proud to know that I'm in your sphere of influence.
There we go.
But if you were not in studio with me every day, would there be whole days where you wouldn't hear somebody talk about the midterms?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think?
Absolutely. Now, I would say probably, if I wasn't here, if I still lived here in Alabama,
yeah,
yes, I'd probably go full days. Up in Tennessee, I had some more friends that actually were gung-ho, you know, all about politics, so I'd probably hear it every 2 or 3 days.
Okay. And those folks were your age generation?
Age generation, yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Birdman, what you thinking?
So, honestly, there's not a lot of talk in my realms right now. I think, especially when it comes to my friends, you know, we're all pretty like-minded for the most part when it comes to our belief systems and political and otherwise. But I feel like we're kind of all on the same page of what needs to happen. You know, I do listen to, you know, obviously, you guys are within that realm of influence, and you know, I listen to podcasts and stuff like that, and that's fine and well, but I'll be honest, there's not a lot of people in my area that's really talking about this much anymore, because I think, what as near as I can tell, these people that I'm close with and that I listen to all kind of feel the same, and it's just a case of, we know what our duty is now and what has to be done. Let's go make it happen. It's just not okay. as much of a talking point, especially in regards to, you know, the red wave aspect.
Okay. All right. So, if we were not in Alabama, Birdman, so if we were in, say, Pennsylvania, which is, you know, purple leaning towards blue, where they've got a contentious, you know, like right now, Katie Britt's going to be the next U.S. Senator. There ain't no way around it. Mm-hmm. Governor Ivey's going to be the next governor. I mean, they both got competition, sort of, but not really. Right. But if we were like, in Georgia right now, where you've got Warnock and I just lost my train of thought. What's my Herschel Walker? I kept wanting to say Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson is not running for the Senate. The other great guy that ran in the SEC. But Herschel Walker and Warnock running for the U.S. Senate, where you could see a competitive race every day, do you think that would change things?
I do, and I think you make a really good point. Something I haven't really thought about is the fact that in this state and in this sphere, you know, it's kind of cut and dry to a degree. But it's not like that in every state. And I think you make a really good point, because there's probably a lot of other states, like you said, Pennsylvania, the purple turning blue states are sitting there going, well, we see the news headlines about a red wave. What do we do to stop it? Whereas I'm looking at it going, I already know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm not in defense mode anymore. It's full offense mode now. So I think, you make a good point about the location of it.
Okay. All right. Tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break there, Boomer. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. We're if Boomer and the Birdman, man, that flew by.
It's so fast.
That flew by. How's it already 4:17?
Man.
All right. Anyway, we're going to come right back. Next part of Boomer and the Birdman, they just asked me a question. I have no idea what's coming. Sometimes I sit back in my chair and, like, brace myself. I don't know what I'm about to be asked, but we'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. So we are in that segment we do once a week on Mondays. We call it Boomer and the Birdman. These two guys are literally the ones who make the trains run on time with all the tech that we have involved. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure we could launch the Artemis space mission from inside the studio. It's just crazy looking around all the flashing lights, the buttons, the dials, the screens. It's madness. And the temperature is like 5 degrees or 6 degrees warmer in this room, Boomer, than any other room because of all the stuff we got in here. All right, so this part is just you guys have a question to ask me, see how I do. So who's first on this one? I guess, Boomer, you first.
I can be first.
All right, take it.
All right, so with the Biden administration, my question is, I mean, a little bit more lighthearted. With the Biden administration, how many people you think love going to work? Especially like today or on Sunday, you know, all the way probably through the night.
Yeah, that communications team was going overtime. They're like, holy cow, he did what? He said what?
I mean, that's kind of what I was,
you know, so
something funny.
So first of all, I will say this. In all sincerity, to work in the White House is still an honor.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Respect the office. You know, you salute the rank, not the man. That's the old thing in the military. And you salute the office. You respect the office. So to work in the White House, it does mean something. If you are working in the White House right now, with the exception of what I would consider to be like the legacy jobs, like the staff of the White House itself, the vast majority of the administrative staff are there because they were hand-selected to be there because they're believers in the cause that Biden walked in with. Mm-hmm. So, but it still sucks. Mm-hmm. So my anticipation is there's probably a mood of, oh, geez, how much longer can we do this, you know? And we've seen apparently a very high turnover rate in the vice president's staff. That means, like, there's been talk about it's like an exodus from her office. Mm. And more something you get high turn. It's a very, by the way, the operational tempo in the White House is extremely high. I've heard it's a high burnout, you know, environment. That you can't keep doing what you're doing in that environment for an entire 4 years on the average. Some do.
Yeah.
But.
And does any of that have to do with the Russian our ambassador?
With him quitting,
like with our administration,
they're saying that that was a scheduled, and I don't believe it. What he's referring to there is the fact that the U.S. ambassador to Russia, just kind of quietly retired or resigned like 2 weeks ago, in the middle of all the crisis going on. I don't know how to explain it, but I find it odd that he did during this heightened time of tension between the two countries. So I anticipate that right now, you always have more fun going to work when you're winning.
Right.
And right now they're not winning at all. And they're working for a guy who everybody questions. So It's got to be tough. Your question for me, Birdman.
All right, so here's the reason why I came in hot and heavy earlier. We were talking about the thing from the interview on 60 Minutes,
right,
and
right.
You know, he mentioned how if China invaded Taiwan, that he said that yes to him sending U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, to defending Taiwan. Now, I don't know all the ins and the outs of our relationship with Taiwan, but I was under the impression that it was more along the lines of our relationship with Ukraine, where we wouldn't send troops, but we send, you know, finances, weaponry, things of that nature. Am I correct in saying that is the case, or does he actually have a case where if they did invade, he could send U.S. men and women?
Well, first of all, he's the commander-in-chief. So if there is a national contingency that he believes he has to respond to, even without congressional authorization, in some instances he can invoke the War Powers Act and send troops if it's a vital national interest. You know, ideally, when you declare war, you go to Congress and have it ratified, but he didn't have to do that. So that being said, yes, he could send troops tomorrow if he wanted to. If he believed that there was a threat to the vital interest of the United States. The interesting dynamic about what he said last night is that we have always been operating since the early 70s under what's known as strategic ambiguity when it comes to China and Taiwan, meaning we won't say what we'll do. We'll keep it quiet. We just don't press us, China. Don't be ugly. Let's be civil here. And then we keep aiding Taiwan economically, selling them weapon systems, but we really don't go over there and talk like we're going to be sitting there, you know, with our guns pointed at China if they try to do something. Well, he's changed that dynamic. It's one thing to do a show of force in the South China Sea. It's another thing to say, if you come across the waters, we're coming at you. So that raised the stakes quite a bit. And I don't know if he knew he was saying that when he said it. It's just kind of weird that he would just come out and say it. And it, you know, just be like that.
Yeah. And see, that's kind of the worry, too, because, you know, if you look at the statements that the White House put out immediately,
yeah,
that raised more questions than him saying it alone.
They were crawfish.
Yeah, it was a bit of a word vomit, but
yeah,
what did he really mean?
They were crawfish. But the thing is, it was very unequivocal what he said. That's the thing.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's like saying the pandemic is over. It wasn't like saying the pandemic's almost sort of kind of over. He said the pandemic's over. Well, in this case, he said, Taiwan, if China comes across, we will be there to defend. Hello?
Yeah, wow. It was black and white.
So much for strategic ambiguity. Do we have time for stupid story of the week?
The music's starting in about 15 seconds.
Oh, dadgummit. All right. Tell you what, we got a scheduled caller calling in right after the break, Birdman. So we'll just throw that one out today. But I am sure they were good ones. You guys always dig up stupid stories that I've never even seen before. Headline. What was your headline, Birdman?
How memes led to an insurrection.
How memes.
Yep.
What was your headline?
Google accidentally transferred $250,000 to a blogger.
and took a month to ask for it back.
Yep.
All right, folks. Boomer and the Birdman. Love you both. Thank you very much for what you do for this show. All right, guys. Listen, we got a scheduled call coming in right now. Angela McClure, running for school board in Huntsville City Schools. Got some interesting dynamics in her race. We'll talk about it here in the next few minutes. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.